Thanks for joining us for the executive series. I'm speaking with Anton Taliaferro, who is the Chief Investment Officer of QV Equities. Anton, it's good to talk to you again.
Good to be here, Tom.
Particularly in this environment, which is pretty challenging, where you're looking at the broader market as concerned. But of course, we're in the throes of our reporting season, and that has delivered some very interesting outcomes, some less expected than others. But one that's been talked about for a long time, of course, is Telstra. And that's a really dramatic reaction for an organisation that has foreshadowed some intentions without necessarily delivering on them. How do you contextualise what Telstra is doing at the moment with their dividend payments?
Yeah, so look, I think they've been hinting about it for a couple of months. And we expected something to happen, not as drastically and as quickly. I think that's what's caught everybody on the hop. And certainly the statement they've put out is quite confusing in terms of what's recurring earnings, what's a recurring dividend, what's a special dividend. But look, at the end of the day, Telstra, you know, because of the NBN, they were going to lose all their fixed line revenues, you know, the basically handsets, whatever, which was about $3 billion of their EBIT. You know, when we caught up with Telstra just a few months ago and whatever, they were telling investors they were hoping that by 2020 they'd be able to recover most of that $3 billion, you know, through either cutting costs or growth in mobile or growth in other areas. Obviously, they've taken a harder look at the business and they've sort of gone for a worst-case scenario and they've dropped the dividend to, you know, 22 cents, which is pretty harsh. I think it's a bit of a worst-case scenario. It means Telstra's balance sheet's going to be very, very good in the next few years because they are getting all this money from NBN. So, yeah, look, we haven't caught up with the company yet, but it's certainly an interesting move. I don't think it should reflect much on the value of the organisation, but obviously people are disappointed. You know, the share price shouldn't drop 10 or 15% because the dividend payout's been reduced. But certainly, obviously, look, a lot of people disappointed because they held Telstra for this nice, you know, 28 or 31 cents dividend, which they've paid basically since they listed in 1997 or 1998.
Indeed.
And to cut your dividend by 30% in a day was a pretty drastic move by Telstra.
And it's a tough set of conditions for the average mum and dad to make sense of when they're trying to pull all these moving parts together.
Well, look, it's very difficult. Look, Telstra is an interesting company. Of course, it's the largest telecommunications company in this country. I mean, everybody knows there's more competition. Everybody understands. I think that the NBN means parts of Telstra business won't be there in future years. But as I said, I think most people are expecting some sort of culling of the dividend at some stage. It's just happened a lot sooner and probably to a greater extent than most of us are expecting.
Indeed. Let's talk about another organisation, QBE, because that has seen a very aggressive response to their earnings result. And it really comes...
QBE, you mean?
QBE, right. Rather than the other luminous QVE. But that was an aggressive response to their result when they'd really pre-announced a lot of...
I think, again, QBE is a very difficult company. We don't own any shares. It's one that, you know, it really sells a commodity product, which is global reinsurance. They don't really have any great advantage to most other people there. There's plenty of capacity in global reinsurance. It's a company that obviously has tried to cut certain areas of business and grow, you know, and it hasn't worked very well. And I think people are beginning to realise that a lot of what QBE's profits, QBE used to be a company that used to grow every year and whatever, but that was through acquisitions. Those days are gone. And now, really, at the end of the day, it's just a global reinsurer with no really particular competitive advantage in a world where there's plenty of capacity in global reinsurance, so pricing is not very good. And that's, you know, the outlook's not terrific for QBE at the moment.
No, it's quite challenging because they really have to rationalise their portfolio of businesses.
Well, they have been doing that, but they seem to come up with new problems, you know, every year or two. So, it's not an easy spot to be at the moment.
Okay, now let's talk about QVE's result. You must be quite pleased. You announced an after-tax profit of $8.5 million, up $2.8 million. Dividend up to 4 cents per share from 3.3 previously. The return on the investment portfolio up by 12.7%. Net tangible assets up quite nicely as well. You've ticked all the boxes, Anton.
Yeah, look, it's been I think when we floated QV 3 years ago, we said, you know, it was sort of really to give investors exposure to the X20 part of the market, which is a part of the market we know quite well. And look, we've been very cautious, I think it's fair to say, the last 2 to 3 years. You know, despite very volatile markets, we've still managed to deliver around 10% per annum. So, yeah, look, we're quite pleased. Of course, you know, the challenge is going forward, as you can see from the market now, the way the market reacts to every result, you know, is a little bit gut-wrenching when you've got a portfolio of stocks. But, look, I think we're pretty happy with the way the portfolio is positioned. We've got a bit of cash. And most of the stocks we own, we're pretty, you know, comfortable with where they're sitting and where they'll be in the next 2 to 3 years.
Okay, so let's talk about the skew of the portfolio. If there's an industry or a particular direction that it's pointed in, how would you describe that?
Yeah, look, so we've got a good exposure to what I'd call steady eddies, I suppose. Companies where the earnings are locked in and there's growth. So things like Shopping Centres Australia, which came out with a fantastic, you know, really good result, really solid company. Long-term leases with Woolworths supermarkets yielding 6% with some growth, very well managed actually. You know, so that's a sort of this ideal company. Spark Infrastructure, which is again a regulated utility with some growth. You know, again on a good yield, very conservative management. So, you know, those kind of regulated things with those high yielding stuff with growth, we love those sort of things. Then we like, you know, healthcare things like Sonic Healthcare, international company growing. Yeah, so look, there's a mix of you know, pretty good companies, I think, overall. I look at the portfolio every day, and you know, there's one or two companies you sort of wish were doing better, but overall, pretty happy with the overall mix.
So the ones that you wish were doing better, is that because they haven't quite had the runway length to get to that critical mass yet? Or
Well, for example, Pact Group, which is one we own. In fact, I saw the companies going around this morning. You know, they're doing lots of good things in terms of growing into areas like contract manufacturing, crate pooling. They've won a couple of contracts off Brambles. So those bits of the business are doing well, but the core business, the rigids plastics business, is a little bit more competitive. So the growth is coming through, but not as quickly as we'd hope. But, you know, we saw them this morning. It's still on track to do quite well. So, yeah, sometimes it's a timing thing. I mean, Ansell's another one, which has these sort of quite wild fluctuations in share price. Yep. We were pretty pleased with the fact that they sold their condom business for the price that they did, which was a very good price.
Yep.
Obviously, they've lost the earnings from the condom division. They've got to replace that. It'll take time for the funds from that division to be redeployed into their other business, which is the gloves business, to earn a return. Of course, markets get impatient and move the share price, you know, up and down and everywhere. So it's about understanding what's going on longer term in the company and trying to be not too influenced by some of the short term, gyrations, like, I guess,
indeed,
in share prices.
There's been a lot of gyrations. So
yeah, it makes you dizzy, doesn't it, Tom?
It does.
Sometimes you go home thinking you've seen a trapeze at the circus or something.
You certainly need to sit down with a chamomile tea after work, that's for sure.
Opal tea, there you go.
But this week we actually saw some news on wages and employment growth. And if you look at those numbers at face value, there's definitely cause for optimism when it comes to the national picture as far as economic outcomes are concerned.
Look, I think if you look all around the world, you know, the Europe's improving slightly. The US obviously has been doing well for a little while now. Australia seems to be doing well. I guess the problem is, you know, the wages growth is quite low.
Yep.
And while stated inflation is low, I think most people, you know, most people's standard of living is being squeezed because things like electricity prices, rents, transport, toll roads, you know, they're all going up. So while the stated inflation looks 1% or whatever, and wages growth is 1.5%, so you think, oh, that's good for most people. Actually, no, I think most people are being squeezed a little bit because, as I said, there are certain parts, as like toll roads, electricity, which are going up a lot faster than the stated inflation rate. So, look, I think the problem, I think, at the moment is interest rates, you know, are still too low, I think. I mean, if you look everywhere around the world, the US, Europe, Australia, we've got interest rates settings at crisis levels.
Exactly.
And there's no crisis.
No.
So what you're getting is all this loose money, you know, turning up in property or shares or whatever, which is a little bit concerning because rates are just too low for the level of activity we're seeing around the world. And at some stage, you know, central banks have to slowly increase interest rates, I think. So
well, they keep just talking get things, about it, but
they just don't have the guts. Well, I think part is because nobody wants their currency to go up either. Yep. Everybody wants a lower currency. So the first guy who does start putting up rates by himself, you know, will have problems with his currency. So, but I think it has to happen. I think it's a responsible thing to start getting those interest rates from, you know, near zero levels to more sort of normal levels, I think, just to stop this mispricing of many assets, which I think we're seeing at the moment all around the world.
Indeed. Anton, it's always good to talk to you. Thanks
good
for your
to
time.
Be here. Good. Thanks, Tom.
And thanks for joining us for the Executive Series.